as Master Dickens scratches away at his parchment by candlelight.
All right, welcome back to the Garage Hockey Podcast. I'm Felix Sicard, joined as always by Nick and Joe Berger, who definitely talk more combined than I do.
Debatable.
We had some analytics to kind of pour over before the show. I go by the eye test when it comes to this.
As the editor, I can guarantee that your words per 60 far outmatch me.
So we were gone for a week. The trade deadline kind of, you know, took its toll on us. So we got a little sun.
Yeah.
We went outside and took a little breather.
We really did anything
to deserve it. Yeah,
they let us out of the garage.
Yeah, they let us out of the garage, basically. Whoever they are.
The masters.
This already took a weird turn. I wanted to say, preemptively, I know it's the Garage Hockey Podcast, but about being a 49ers fan, I'm very excited for the Brian Hoyer era. The 49ers signed Hoyer as their quarterback.
So. Again, weird turn.
But hold on. It's the Brian Hoyer and Matt Barkley era.
And I'm actually more excited about Barkley than I was at first.
Really?
Yeah.
Explain yourself.
Because the way I look at it, we've already gone off the rails, is that Barkley is sort of the project. Hoyer is the like zero-risk, holdover, quality veteran guy for 2 years at like $12 million or whatever. And then during that time, Barkley might get a few spot starts and Shanahan can just kind of groom him. Mm-hmm. And he's kind of like the lab project because he actually had a few good starts last season.
Yeah, he did.
And
he kept very busy from game to game. He was that guy that would throw two or three touchdowns and five or six picks in a game.
So the way I see it, it's kind of like there's no risk for the Niners. So yeah. With Hoyer, he's going to give them decent play for a couple years and no skin off their nose once that contract is up. And then with Barkley, if it doesn't work out, it doesn't work out, and you move on and maybe you draft someone or whatever. So
yeah.
Anyway, all this to say that my faith in my favorite football team is restored,
and
at least for now.
There's also the whole Kirk Cousins saying that he'll be a Niner within the next 2 years.
Yeah. I'm hoping that doesn't... Like, I would have been fine if they had signed Hoyer, but the fact that they didn't, I'm not losing any sleep over it. So
I just like that it was a situation of sources close to someone that is close to him said that Cousins said this.
Yeah.
Just this whole chain reaction.
Whatever that means. Anyway, so the trade deadline is coming past, and we are now in the stretch run of the NHL season. There's about 4 weeks left in the season at most. I mean, most teams have about 12 to 14 games left.
Yeah.
So that went by fast.
That happened really
fast.
Our
first regular season.
Yeah. I mean, it flies by every year. It's always right around this time that I think back and be like, man.
You'd be like?
I'd be like, man, yo, it was the first game of the season like a day ago, and
yeah.
Now all of a sudden it's game 68.
It feels like yesterday that I was beating the Winnipeg Jets drum saying that they were going to make the like third seed in the Central Division.
Yeah.
Not my finest moment.
I mean, we've all had those moments. Technically,
they still could.
I will say I was extremely right about Philadelphia. They are exactly average.
Yeah. I was pretty high on them just after the kind of the stretch run they had last season.
Mm.
But I guess if we are to learn anything, it's that you shouldn't judge a team off like 15 games of play.
Yeah.
And also the season from last season.
Yeah. And kind of like their entire history.
Yeah.
Anyway, so we do have some things to discuss. The Eastern Conference is getting pretty frisky. That final wild card spot is, I mean, it's basically a three-team race. Between the Maple Leafs, the Islanders, and the Lightning. So I'm going to ask you guys first, who makes it out of those three and why? Who are you picking?
I'm picking Toronto.
I am too.
Really?
Yeah.
So tell me why.
I mean, the Islanders are sort of treading water right now. Like, they were doing fine when Doug Weight first took over.
Mm-hmm.
But recently they've not been doing that well. And especially today, they're shellacking from the Carolina Hurricanes 8-4.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, was Berube in net? I think he was.
JF Berube was in net, and he got yanked in favor of Thomas Greiss, who gave up, I think, 2 goals on 2 shots, and it got worse from there.
I love that Berube is flaming out. Not because I wish him any ill, but because of just the way they've handled that whole situation.
Especially with, is it Alan Walsh that's been spouting off on Twitter?
Well, wait, so you're picking Toronto, but why Toronto?
I mean, they've just sort of been the most consistent.
Yeah, but they're not playing that well lately, though. They've been blowing a lot of third-period leads.
Yeah.
They had a pretty bad California trip.
But then you go to Tampa, who, like, they
have injuries.
Yeah, they're the IR list right now. I mean,
okay.
If they can manage to get Steven Stamkos back, you know, with 5 to 10 games left, which is possible, but maybe not likely. You know, it depends on how good he feels and, you know, how close they are to the last spot. Then yeah, they could put on a push and, you know, get a surge going to the playoffs. But, you know, like right now with the concussions and
they just can't stay healthy.
No.
Yeah. And I know Frederik Andersen has been a little up and down for Toronto, but I'll still take him over what Thomas Greiss has been doing lately, because I think they said on the broadcast that he's been yanked in like each of his last 3 starts or something.
So I take it you're picking Toronto too.
I'll take Toronto too.
Okay, and then I'm going to ask you this. Who needs to make it the most? Who needs this playoff berth the most?
That's a very big picture question.
I think the Islanders.
See, this is why I ask the questions.
Yeah.
I mean,
it's too bad I don't have the answers. Man, what a problem.
Yeah, Tampa, despite their success...
They don't have to make it this
season.
Yeah,
like, you know, the success of their franchise doesn't really fall on...
This season.
Making the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
The Islanders, year in and year out, in just the area that they're in, even the arena they're in, they need to win. And even that, like, even when they were winning, it seemed like as a franchise, they were sort of struggling. So, like, they need all the success they can get. And one more playoff series, you know, especially since the players get the regular season, they divide the regular season money, and the owners divide up the postseason money.
Oh yeah,
yeah. The Islanders, like, they really need it.
Yeah, and also Toronto's fan base is always going to be there, and they're very clearly trending in the right direction.
Yeah, they're not throwing jerseys on the ice anymore.
Yeah, the Islanders are a team that, I mean, like you mentioned the arena, and also it's in their best interest to make sure John Tavares is very happy.
Well, yeah, so that's what this all comes back to. So, like, I think I'm with you guys. I think Toronto's going to make it. Mostly, but see, what's interesting with Toronto, though, is that they can just leapfrog the Bruins, because I think did the Bruins win tonight?
Yes, they won 6-3 over Vancouver.
Yeah, so they're 4 points back of Boston, but they could potentially leapfrog that team, and they have that safety net of potentially being the third seed in the Atlantic Division. The Islanders, I guess Tampa Bay has that too. So I would be like, with the Islanders though, they don't have that safety net. The only possible playoff spot they can realistically get is that last wild card spot, because the Rangers are the first wild card spot with 90 points.
Yeah, they're not.
So they're not. So they have to get the last spot. You know, so both Toronto and Tampa Bay have that safety net. I'm gonna pick Toronto, just because for some reason something about that team I kind of want to root for. So this is more of a pick with my heart.
Yeah,
maybe not, because I think Tampa Bay is playing like the better team right now. I think that just you look at some of the stats, and I just think they're also just kind of the better team, I think, on paper.
They are.
Healthy.
It's just, yeah, like you said, it's a lot of injuries to overcome, especially this late.
I think with Toronto, their inexperience is showing a little bit. But anyway, that's beside the point. But the thing with, and I'm going to also bring the sweep on with the Islanders, I think they need to make it the most, not just because of all the reasons you guys mentioned, but I want to build on that thing with Tavares. He's going to be a free agent next offseason.
Mm.
And
the Leafs have a lot of people.
Is it this offseason or next offseason?
Next offseason. Next year is his last year.
So, like, if they don't make it, and, you know, they flame out again, and they don't have a great summer, like, they're just adding pressure on themselves to have an even better season next season.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I think...
And who's their goalie next season?
From everything I've heard, it sounds like Tavares is looking for reasons to stay instead of kind of looking for reasons to leave, which is an important distinction.
Yes.
I think he's a guy who wants to be known as like a Steve Yzerman or a Joe Sakic, who spent his entire career on one team. Although, I mean, Sakic change teams, but not because it was his decision. Yeah. You know, Nordiques
not
moving to Colorado. Yeah,
but the same with the franchise.
The same franchise. Yeah, but you know, if things go poorly to end the season, and let's say they don't really have the best offseason, and next season doesn't go as well either, I mean, he's going to have to make a tough decision. Yeah. So they kind of have to make the playoffs.
Yeah,
I mean, you know, I don't think they're beating anyone. But they're frisky enough. Like they've been playing a lot better under Doug Waite.
Yeah.
So I don't know. It's a tough situation. But yeah, but you look at Toronto and Tampa Bay, everything Tampa Bay has done this season has basically said, we're playing with house money now. We've basically moved off all the assets we needed to move. We're gonna be able to re-sign all of our guys. We've shown an ability to do that. We're gonna be back. Our core is intact.
Not healthy, but intact.
Well, you know, like I'm talking about next season.
Right.
And then you look at Toronto and it's the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
Whether they make it or not, this season is kind of immaterial to their long-term outlook.
Yeah.
If they make it, it's great. The young guys get experience, but ultimately they'll be fine.
Right.
You know, New York, I mean, they have to start showing any signs of improvement. Yeah. So
today was not encouraging. Their neutral zone play is bad.
They lost 8-4?
8-4 to Carolina.
Yeah.
Carolina.
Man. I mean, okay, yeah, that's embarrassing.
A goaltending clinic, that was not.
All right, so that's kind of the bottom of the Eastern Conference. That's what's going on there. Shifting gears to the top of the conference, Washington Capitals, they've lost 4 in a row.
They're slipping.
Are you worried? Is this something or nothing, to borrow a PTI segment?
It's nothing. That's my word, nothing.
Really? You think it's nothing at all?
Yeah, no.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Like, every team goes through their slumps. Washington...
I wanted this to be the knee-jerk podcast.
Yeah, I mean, Washington, I think yesterday when they were playing, they said this was the first time that Washington... They've lost 4 in a row?
Yeah.
The first time they've done that in the past 3 seasons. I think it was since 14-15 that they said that they lost 4 in a row last.
Right.
So, I mean, every team goes through these... You know, even good teams go through.
But 4 in a row?
Well, now that you rephrase it.
Well, now that you say it that way for the third
time. Blow it up!
Get rid of Shattenkirk.
Here's why I would be kind, just a little bit concerned. Just a little bit. Because they've basically had a top spot for most of the season. And for them, what is the incentive right now to play well? You know, like their season is kind of already a wrap in the sense that we know who they are. They added a piece, but these last few games are really just going to be the difference between one or two opponents, right? So then you look at that, their motivation is probably lower. And you look at the last 25 games, they're 17th in the league in shot attempt differential. And I know that, like, they have so much talent that stat doesn't mean quite as much. But to me, that's just a tick concerning. And I don't know. I think with the Stanley Cup playoffs, it's such an intense, basically, gauntlet until the finals. I don't know if you can just turn it back on once it starts. You know, like if you're not really... Because I was watching the Penguins-Oilers game. I think it was Friday or Saturday. That was a phenomenal game. And Pittsburgh was flying out there. They look like a motivated team to me. And I watched Anaheim play Washington. Was it 2 nights ago?
A few nights.
I'm so mixed up.
Yeah.
It's a time change. Happy Daylight Savings being over, or how does this work?
I mean, in effect?
Whatever. Like, the clock has moved forward. So, anyway, maybe it's that screwing me up. But I looked at Pittsburgh, and, like, to me, this looks like a team that... They just seem to have that spark right now. And, again, this is all kind of... unprovable, you know, maybe a little bit, I don't know, looking too much between the lines. But I think with Washington, it's a little concerning. Just a little.
I mean, if you're Washington, you absolutely want to hold on to that first spot and play the last wild card spot.
As good as the Rangers are, because I think the Rangers are going to be a tough opponent for anyone. I mean, well, they're probably going to, they're going to play that first spot.
I mean,
I don't know.
If they drop, like,
I don't know.
They're playing either Pittsburgh or Columbus.
Yeah.
So, they want to avoid that in the first round.
Yeah.
They absolutely do.
And that's the thing.
We also haven't even mentioned that Alex Ovechkin has one goal in his last, like, 10 games.
He has 27 goals this season.
Yeah.
Which is Like, nobody's talking about that, which, you know, I'm fine with, because there's so many other things to talk about that are way more fun.
Like his plus minus.
Like Max Pacioretty potentially getting the Rocket Richard.
Yeah.
But whatever.
He's a goal back of Crosby. But anyway, so I'm not like writing them off, and I still think that they're...
Good American boy.
They're on paper the favorites, but I don't know. It's a little... I'm a little concerned about them right
yeah.
now.
Yeah. That thing about... like slowing it down and taking your foot off the gas going into the playoffs and then trying to restart the engine. That very well could...
Like, I think that matters. You know what I mean?
It could very well be valid. It could very well be a thing. But it's one of those arguments where when a team overcomes that and they take their foot off the gas, but then they do well in the playoffs, it's like, oh, they were rested. They saved their energy. But yeah. when they don't do it, it's like, oh, it affected them.
Well, so. Well, that's the thing. Yeah, exactly. It's kind of like the Golden State Warriors last season, where they had that chance to get the 73-win record. Mm-hmm. And then they basically expended all their energy to get that. And yeah. then they definitely looked the part in the playoffs. So it's kind of like, damned if you do, damned if you don't, give it your all the rest of the way through. Yeah. But I'm not really talking about necessarily, you know, them trying to smash guys through the glass, but just you don't get... They kind of look a little lifeless. I mean, right now. I don't know.
I think that, you know...
And the Rangers are not going to be an easy series.
No.
Even if they play... Let's just say they hold on to that first spot. You know, like, Henrik Lundqvist, if he's hot, and that offense that the Rangers have, I mean, it's going to give them problems.
The Rangers are four lines deep.
It could be a seven-game series. Like, so
that'd be possible second round, though, right? Or
that'd
third
be,
round.
That'd be...
Third round.
Oh, that's right, because they'd play the last seed. Yeah, right.
Because there's no way the Rangers are moving out.
Right, right. Spot. No, no, no. My bad.
Yeah.
Wow.
Wow. Man, daylight savings affected you more than I think even you thought you knew.
That's right.
You're on New York time right now.
Yeah. Okay.
I mean...
Well, the point remains, though.
Because the Capitals have been... they've been on their California swing.
Yeah. And like, no Eastern team really ever crushes it.
Yeah.
Especially since all the California teams... maybe outside of LA are playing pretty well right now.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, they call it the California gauntlet for a reason.
Yeah, but we've had a lot of opportunity to see Kevin Shattenkirk play. Well, not a lot.
Well,
he was suspended in the last game and for one more game.
Yeah.
But seeing him, you know, move the puck around from the point, like, he's quarterbacking power play and, you know, even strength. He's making tape-to-tape passes that's leading to goals. Like, yeah. He's been playing with them for years.
He looks really good.
But you know what's funny? And I kind of feel like a hypocrite for calling out the Capitals. Not really calling them out, but I'm just saying, I'm evaluating what I see. But you think about it with the Capitals, and so much has been made about how, like, oh, well, it doesn't matter that you guys are the best in the regular season. It doesn't matter that you guys win the President's Trophy. It's all about rings, you know? And so it's like, okay, so we won't care about the regular season.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, if you're going to make all this deal, then... we won't care. It's the same thing in basketball with teams resting their starters. It's like, you guys, the fans, and the media are the ones saying it's all about rings, so we're going to do that, and we're just going to kind of, you know, set it on autopilot until the playoffs start. So I can't blame the athletes for kind of realizing, you know, as much as I want to be the best guy on the ice every night, I also realize that maybe this doesn't really matter quite as much.
And, you know, maybe I'm just saying this because it's just the length of the season, but like, the season's 10 games too long anyway.
It's way too long. I mean,
yeah. And maybe I'd be saying the exact same thing if it was 72 games instead of 82 games, but you know, like, as it is right now, those last 10 games that everyone plays, you know, the teams that are in, they look lackluster every year. The teams that are fighting for it, you know, are still putting on a push, but you know, because they're fighting for it, they never really, you know, go far in the playoffs.
They kind of fizzle out.
You know, and then, you know, the teams that have been out of it for, you know, since Christmas, you know, are just...
they have no reason to play whatsoever.
Yeah. Or, you know, sometimes, you know, it's like
In fact, the system incentivizes them to lose more than does to win.
But, like, in a case like Colorado this year, where they're just so far out of it, you know, they can actually, you know, play as well as they want and still be last.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's a weird system that the NHL has. But anyway, before we go too far down that rabbit hole, shift gears to the Western Conference. Simple question, because the race there for that final wild card spot, I mean, the whole wild card kind of bracket's a little messy, but really it's looking like a two-team race right now, at least, unless the Oilers keep sliding for the final spot between the Blues and the Kings. So simple question, who makes it LA or St. Louis?
St. Louis.
St. Louis.
Really?
Yeah, picking St. Louis.
Woo! Why?
Jake Allen actually started playing well. Feeling good about that. Look, the Kings had that two-headed monster in goal. I'm not going to count them out.
Are you really going to say, like...
It's not two-headed monster, since they can't both bite you at the same time.
I'd call that a two-headed, like...
Like a troll? Like two-headed...
It's just not all that threatening. I'm not intimidated. It's just weird to look at.
Have you seen Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy? Where, you know, Zaphod Beeblebrox can... Like, he has, like, two heads, but only one at a time?
Yes.
You know, that's sort of what they're doing.
Yeah, that's more what it is.
So you're both saying St. Louis...
Yeah, I'm saying St. Louis.
I mean, LA just lost.
They just lost to St. Louis.
To St. Louis, yeah. I just think for... So then spinning it forward, who needs to make it more?
I think it's St. Louis.
Really?
Yeah. I think it's Winnipeg, but like St. Louis, yeah.
I guess we should quickly mention that Winnipeg is, I think, 5 points back of LA.
10 points back of St. Louis.
Yeah, so they're just, I mean, mathematically, they're still in it, but...
They're under 500.
It doesn't feel likely. The thing with Winnipeg, though, is their core is going to be there for the foreseeable future. See, I actually think LA needs to make it more, because you look at that team, and their whole core is, I mean, they have so much invested into, you know, about 3 to 4 guys that they kind of have to make good on it every year.
I mean, the guy that... They'd be passing the torch to, seemingly, Tyler Toffoli.
Yeah, but it's one guy.
Yeah, but he offensively, and, you know, dude, how old is Drew Doughty?
He's 26.
Okay,
27.
So, like,
he's drafted the same year. Or no, he's 08. He was drafted in 08, so he's 27.
Okay,
like that.
So he's still young enough. And defensively,
he's still in his prime. Yeah. I mean, he's kind of also on the other side of his prime.
The more LA kicks a can down the road, barely scraping out a playoff.
Well, they need a better supporting cast.
Yeah, but you know, like their window, like their Stanley Cup window, has passed.
It has passed, but to me, with the Kings though, I would not want to play them in a first round series, because I think that the way they play is so much more. And I hate to use this cliche, but I think it's so much more suited to the playoff game.
It is,
because they just wear you down. And like, it's funny, I've been thinking a lot about the effects of like chemistry and, you know, kind of just the intangibles in hockey. And I really think that part of the reason why that team is so good statistically every season, you know, just from like a 5-on-5 shot attempt perspective, it's not just that they have great tactics, but I think they just kind of know who they are. I think that they know who the leaders are in that room. And there's you know, like on some teams, you try to point, all right, who's the leader of that team? Like, whose team is it? And I don't think that matters completely. But with the Kings, it's never in doubt whose team it is. It's Kopitar, it's Doughty, it's Quick, and then you have your other supporting guys, but you have those guys at the top. And I think that if you play that team in the playoffs, it's going to be a tough series. And even if you only win, and let's say like the Sharks did, was it like what, five games?
Five.
It's like those were tough games.
They were, but
for the most part.
They definitely were. They were much tougher than
LA is not that far from still being a very good team in the playoffs.
Yeah, those games were much tougher than LA was given credit for. They're very stingy defensively still. They still have great puck possession numbers.
Mm-hmm.
But
they can't score. They really can't score.
Outside, and
they didn't do anything to address it.
At all. So,
well, Jerome McGinley.
Jerome McGinley.
Who did score the other day.
Adorable.
Yeah.
So, I mean, yeah, outside of Carter, they can't really score. I lost my train of thought. So,
well, here's the thing. As long as they don't freak out, which you never know with Dean Lombardi, as long as they don't freak out and they keep everything intact, they can just run it back year after year.
Mm.
Because at some point, things are going to break your way, you know? Because the way they play, what they do is they constantly put the odds in their favor by just getting pucks on net and keeping them away from their own.
Yeah, the thing that I was going to say about them is that they are very good defensively, but if Jonathan Quick isn't phenomenal, they can be had defensively.
Yes. Yeah.
I think San Jose proved that.
Yeah, because they can't score.
With LA, the big difference, I know I've said this a few times before, the difference between them when they were competing for the Cup and now when they're fighting for a playoff berth, was the depth down the middle. And you know, if you look at their payroll,
yeah,
all their money's, you know, they're like Chicago. All their money is, you know, locked up in a bunch of core guys and in a lot of not great contracts.
Yeah, the Dustin Brown.
Even, you know, a guy like, you know, Jonathan Quick, you know, it's eating up a lot of money.
Well, but see,
yeah.
You know, go ahead.
There's another guy coming up, someone that they have to keep, in Tyler Toffoli. He's making about 3.25 this year, and he's an RFA after this year.
Yeah.
So
this summer,
he's in RFA. Yeah. Okay. So like, I think they're only at like 500,000 under the cap. And that's going to be even worse when they're tying up more into Foley because he's going to be asking more.
And Pearson.
Yeah. So, like, their ability to surround their core players is getting harder every single year because these contracts are not expiring for years down the road.
But if, I mean, and that's where I think having a great coach like Daryl Sutter comes in because he's going to keep that continuity going. I mean, look at the Blackhawks. It's the same thing. They've consistently had these cap problems.
But they
consistently find ways.
Because their scouting is better.
Yeah, you can't really say that. I mean, the Kings' scouting is at least decent if you look at the roster they've managed to put together over the years. But, I mean, they have some guys coming up. I mean, it seems like Brandon McNabb could be a thing at some point. I don't know.
You sound very optimistic about that.
I just think that that's not a team I'd want to play in the first round. And same thing with Chicago, because I just think those teams that really know themselves and that have those leaders and kind of just have the whole package, you know, the coach that's been there a long time, the supporting skill, it's just not a team I'd want to play.
No, I wouldn't either, because they're just so taxing to play against. I think you're right. I think that they're some secondary players away from still being really good.
Yeah.
The good news for them in terms of who needs to make it more is that they already jumped through their Stanley Cup window twice.
Yeah.
So they're fine. The Blues haven't done that yet.
And that's
true. Should have done it.
Yeah, and they have Tarasenko in his prime. They have Alex Pietrangelo in his prime. True. So
I guess from that point of view, I would agree that the Blues, they haven't done it yet. Like, the Kings cannot ever make the playoffs again for the next 5 years, and they still have those two Stanley Cups, and the Staples Center is still going to be full for a good while.
Yeah.
They've bought themselves some good favor. Yeah,
LA losing is never going to really be on the mind of the fans because they're going to be distracted by other things.
Throwing shade at LA from the Bay.
All right. Yes. So speaking of the Bay, from a Sharks perspective, since you are both avid Sharks observers,
connoisseurs of the Sharks.
Connoisseurs, fans.
I admire them from afar.
Whatever you want to call it.
Yeah, through your binoculars.
Who would you rather play in the first round? Edmonton, St. Louis, or Anaheim? I left off Calgary for some reason, but yeah.
Anaheim doesn't really scare me as well as they're playing right now.
So, out of those three teams, you would pick Anaheim.
I think I would pick Anaheim.
Yeah.
But the Ducks have kind of played the Sharks tough this season, though.
They have, which is unusual.
I don't know if that's indicative of anything going forward.
Usually it's the other way around.
The Ducks are playing a lot better lately.
Yeah, Corey Perry is actually scoring goals now.
Yeah.
How many effective lines do the Ducks have? Do they have three now? Are they up to three?
Yeah. I mean, the big difference now is that they've found a way. I don't know if they found a way, but Getzlaff has gotten it going, and that kind of opens everything up, because when he's trying for those, I think someone, maybe this is just me, but I see him trying a lot more, I guess you could call them risky passes recently, a lot more cross ice, sort of daring the defense to stop him, and I feel like maybe someone told him, like, hey, just go out there and play your game and stop trying to be so confined. And he's getting assists like every game, you know?
The thing...
You can tell his confidence is through the roof.
Yeah, I mean, he and Perry both look great. Even Jonathan Bernier looks great.
Because the thing is, when those two are going, that opens up everything for them, you know?
It does. I just don't believe them because... it's
I don't believe them!
It's not even from game to game. It's period to period with them. They're so inconsistent.
They are. And it's been that way for years.
Like, they'll have these games where they get outshot like 40-21.
Yeah, I mean, you saw the Chicago game.
And then, you know, they'll have these games where it's the complete opposite, and they control possession the entire time.
And the way I see the teams that the Sharks could potentially match up against, you look at Anaheim, and the Sharks are a deeper team than Anaheim. They can roll four lines. Anaheim is struggling to scrape by three. And you look at a team like Edmonton, who, yeah, is a younger team.
See, Edmonton, if we're going to talk about being four lines deep, you can't put Edmonton in that.
No, you can't. But no. Like they have,
but they have McDavid.
They have McDavid, who's a game breaker. And
see, I'd rather
for as good as Anaheim's defense is, they don't have like a PK Subban. You know, they don't have someone that you like. Murray's out on the ice, you have to watch them. Like,
but when they're on,
yeah, when Getzlaff they're, no, when they're on, like, I'm not, you know, disparaging, you know, what they are.
Yeah.
But like, none of them are going to win the series by themselves.
Yeah, I mean, Raquel is at 29 goals. Yeah.
I mean, you know, so Gibson is the best hope for Anaheim in the playoffs.
I don't know. I'm the way the Ducks have been playing lately. They've been a little up and down, but they've steadily areas of their game have steadily improved. And if they can just start scoring, I mean, because they're due for some regression. And when that happens, I don't know. I think they could win a, I don't know if they could win a cup or anything, but they could definitely win maybe a round or two.
I mean, right now, the team, if I was the Sharks, the team I would not want to play is Calgary.
Oh, no one wants to play them.
Yeah.
I mean, I think Calgary is probably, outside of the Sharks, probably the second best team in the Pacific right now.
Yeah.
Right now.
I agree.
Although, I mean, it's them and the Ducks for that like second spot. Here's my thing with Edmonton. Their blue line sucks.
It sucks.
Yeah. Like,
it's not good.
If I'm the Sharks, I'm looking at that team, licking my chops, because they could just, I mean, they could wipe the floor with that blue line.
Yeah.
And Cam Talbot's had a really good season. But outside of that McDavid line, they have nothing going. Like, I was watching them play the Canadiens last night. I remember that one. And the Oilers were up 1-0 to start the third period. The Habs ended up winning 4-1. And this is in Edmonton, and they're at least on a day of rest. And to me, it's like being up 1-0, I get it. You're going to be a bit more defensive, but the Oilers just stopped playing completely. They just collapsed. And of course, Montreal is turning it on because they're trailing, so they're going to look a little better. But that team looked lifeless.
Yeah.
And, you know, it seems to me like when McDavid's not going, he had two shots that game. Mm. When McDavid doesn't have it going, they don't win.
Yeah.
That's just the way it seems to me. I mean, if I'm the Sharks, I'm looking at that team and I'm thinking sweep.
I mean, the Sharks. Oh yeah, they just got off. They're coming off a victory against Dallas, whose defense is worse than Edmonton's.
Far worse. Well.
But like,
I don't know about that. Careful.
Like the Sharks didn't really have to play defense to beat them. Not saying that they were just abdicating defense altogether, but they were. They've made more stretch passes in that game against Dallas than I've seen them make all season.
Oh, yeah. Like the Pavelski goal.
Yeah, like they just had to get it up to the forwards because there was no defensive side to Dallas's game. You know, so
yeah.
You know, they were able to just open up the ice. And yeah, that's the style that Dallas plays into, like purposefully.
Yeah.
Which I think is the main difference between them and Edmonton. But, you know, playing a team that, you know, isn't solid defensively. You know, the Sharks didn't have to play all five guys, you know, solidly in order to beat them. Like, they just had to move it up, you know, get the puck up the ice, and you were good.
Yeah, it didn't have to be a perfect game for them.
And you look at the Sharks compared to the Oilers. In the last 25 games, you look at shot attempt differentials, the Oilers are 25th.
Oh.
I mean, I think their rate on the whole this season is, I think, at or close to being above 50, but I mean, I don't know, man. I just think you want to talk about a team when it's on. If the Sharks can just kind of whatever it is, you know, flip that switch, they're not beating. I mean, sorry, they're not losing to anyone in the Pacific Division.
I agree.
And I mean, I just watched the Oilers, and you know, I just maybe it's because I don't know. Maybe it's confirmation bias. I don't know what it is, but they just don't look like they play with any structure.
Well, that's part of the issue.
There's a lot of guys floating out there. There's a lot. And, you know, going back to the leadership thing that I was talking about, I think that for a lot of them, it's kind of like they're kind of waiting on McDavid to do something. And outside of him, it's like, who are the leaders on that team?
Mm-hmm.
You know, because you look at the Sharks, and yeah, they've had their ups and downs in the playoffs, but you know who their guys are at all times. You look at the Oilers, and it's like it feels like sometimes they're kind of looking around like, all right, who's going to do it?
Yeah.
And I think that as they grow together as a group, they're going to figure that out. But I think it's important because, you know, when you're on a hockey team and you go in the locker room, there are those guys who step up and talk and who you kind of look to for leadership. And I don't know if the Oilers totally have that right now. And I think that matters.
How did David Desharnais of Edmonton fame play yesterday?
He had a bit of a tough game, but I think overall he's looked decent. They put him on a line with Pouliot, and him and Pouliot were pretty good back when they were together on the Habs.
Do you think he makes that third line better?
No, not that. I mean,
it's almost more about making the McDavid line better because he gets to stay with Draisaitl.
I just think Desharnais had such a bad season in Montreal, and I mean, he's 30 years old. He's playing for his last contract, basically. Mm. And I feel like that's where, I mean, I heard that, I think when he got traded, it was the day after he had a kid or something.
Oof.
I mean, I feel like they did a close up on his face, and maybe it was just knowing what I know, but it just seems like a lot's on his mind.
Yeah.
I mean, because who's going to sign him in the offseason? I mean, he's been a healthy scratch at times this year.
Florida.
I mean, I'm sure someone might take a flyer on him, but
I could totally see that.
You know, it's like Europe isn't out of the question for him.
Right.
And so...
I don't know. You're kind of talking me into Edmonton. It's such a problem that...
Because I know how you guys feel about the Ducks, maybe because of the way I've been talking about them all season, but I just look at, talent for talent. The Ducks are still, to me, clearly a better team than the Oilers.
No, you're right about that. And I will say it is alarming and painful and kind of embarrassing that I think Jonathan Bernier has beat the Sharks twice this year.
And they're going to play Saturday, by the way.
They will play Saturday.
At the Tank.
I will say, comparing
7:30
the Oilers to the Ducks, you know, part of it has been my expectations because no one expected the Oilers to be in the position they
are. Well, no, we expected it. I mean,
they were in first. They were in first in the Pacific.
Yeah, we didn't expect that, but I think where they are right now is kind of who we thought they were.
Like, if you look at their schedule breakdown, they had a hot streak to start the season, and they had another one, I think, somewhere in December. And that's why they're still in the playoff spot right now. If they were .500 for those, they would not be in a playoff spot right now.
I mean,
I look at Anaheim, and I know I throw a lot of shade their way.
But they've hovered. They've hovered all season.
It's because the Oilers are exceeding my expectations, and the Ducks, for the past couple years, have not met my expectations.
Well, that's what this always comes back to, is what do you expect?
Yeah.
And with Anaheim, the expectation, realistic or not, from them, from their own club, was to be contending for a cup this season.
Yeah, as they reminded us with that 10-year patch on their jersey.
Yeah. That was a fun game. They'd kind of just destroyed the Capitals, and all the old guys from the 07 team were in the building. It was a good night for that franchise. I just think with the Ducks playing better as of late, because that's been their problem all season, is that they just have seemed to lack that structure. And if they can just get kind of that structure back into their game, that's a lot of talent to deal with.
Now the fun thing to watch for is going to be if Anaheim keeps it up.
Yeah, which is always a question with them. But anyway, this is all talking about who you'd rather face if you're the Sharks. Ultimately, I don't think it matters a ton because I think the Sharks are beating all these teams. Mm. I don't know. Calgary Flames have won 9 games in a row. And
I think it's 10.
Ten now. Yeah, it's 10. And no one is talking about it. So yeah. we're gonna try to get a Flames pod at some point.
Yeah. I mean, as it is, we've been saying, who are the Sharks playing? But right now, they'd be the second seed, mm-hmm. playing the top wild card spot, which at the moment is Edmonton, but they're only 3 points behind Minnesota, who I think has stumbled slightly the past 5 games or so.
Yeah, their game has kind of dropped a bit.
Yeah, so. Yeah. So that top spot, all the matchups are wide open.
Yeah. So the Sharks could still.
They could take the West.
Yeah. The only thing we really know is that...
But it's still going to be one of these three teams, basically.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Pretty much. I don't know. I think you look at the rest of the West stepping out from the Pacific a little bit. I mean, Nashville's looking better.
They are.
Chicago is looking fantastic.
I tried to tell him.
Minnesota's... But see, the thing is, I think, I was kind of running this in my head the other day. I was thinking, Minnesota... There's some questions about their ability to kind of play that structured playoff game, but I just think whoever they play, if they play a St. Louis or an LA or even an Edmonton, I just think they're going to skate circles around those teams.
Yeah.
Nobody's stopping that team.
Minnesota comes at you fast.
Yeah. So a series that I'd really like to see, just from a pure offensive standpoint, is Minnesota-Chicago, because I think that series would be just goals on goals.
We wouldn't get that until the second round, though.
Yeah, I mean,
because it sucks. Nashville's not getting up.
I hate that Nashville and Chicago are probably going to play in the... it's not guaranteed, but if they do play in the first round, I hate that one of those teams is going to be out right away.
Yeah, I mean, Nashville could play could drop, and St. Louis could overtake them, so...
Man, see, that's the thing, and I guess that's the thing we haven't really discussed, is the Sharks could even play the Preds.
Oh. That would be tough. The Preds play the Sharks so tough.
Going back
to the playoffs last year, the Preds pushed them to Game 7. They were easily the toughest matchup, aside from Pittsburgh.
It's kind of a bad matchup for the Sharks, because it's funny, because in a way, that series was a bit of foreshadowing for what was to come in the final, because the Predators were such an up-tempo team, and, you know, they just come at you, but they can't do it like Pittsburgh.
Right.
So, but you could see the Sharks kind of having to, you know, like, okay, wait, what do we do here? And they pulled it out because they're a great team, but it was kind of like
So I think
foreshadowing a little bit.
But bottom line, as Sharks fans, you're rooting for Nashville to get all the points they can get and play either Chicago or Minnesota.
Because even if they beat in Nashville, that's not going to be an easy series.
No.
You know? And then after that, I mean...
And I think Nashville is
even better. You play Calgary or Anaheim, and it's like, that's not going to be any easier.
Right.
So.
West is looking tough. I mean, the Sharks lost 2-1 to Nashville the other day. It didn't look particularly good doing it either. So that would be a tough matchup.
I mean, I think we're gonna be pretty spoiled in this year's playoffs. I think there's gonna be a lot of good matchups. I'm really praying for a Montreal Boston first round, because I think the Habs are gonna win that one pretty easily.
I think so too.
I just don't want to play the Rangers in the first round. That just doesn't sound like fun.
No, the Rangers are four lines deep. Jimmy Vesey's on their fourth line.
Yeah, Jimmy Vesey.
I mean, throw all the shade that you want. If Jimmy Vesey is on your fourth line, you're probably a pretty good team.
Yeah, or a dumb team.
I mean, to that point, they've been playing Tanner Glass. So
yeah, it's good old Alain Vigneault. Yeah, I'm super excited, and I'm kind of glad. This is what I love about hockey, is that anyone can win. You know, and even though we try to find ways to predict and to make the game sort of predictable, we still, like, anything can happen.
Yeah.
You know, and I have no idea who's going to win the cup. Like, I know I keep saying Washington, and I still, if I had to pick, I would pick them. Mm. But, I mean, I just see all these teams, and I think, man, we'll see. Because, I mean, the Sharks are kind of growing on me.
I think the Sharks are looking better. I think that top line with Thornton and Pavelski looks a lot better with Yannick Hansen.
Yeah, I was going to ask you, how is Hansen looking?
He looks like he's been playing with them for a long time.
Yeah, like,
that's good.
He doesn't like a midseason acquisition. You know, he looks like he's been there since training camp.
Yeah, Thornton and Pavelski are not speed guys. They're both having they're having good offensive seasons, especially Pavelski, but they're not speedsters. So Yannick Hansen brings speed to that line and just sort of makes it a more mobile line in the offensive zone. So it's looking good so far.
I just think with the Sharks, I mean, you look at the numbers and they don't really have like a bad line or pairing.
No.
You know, like their worst pairing is that third pairing with what's his name?
Right now it's DeMello and Dylan,
but they're still not bad. They're just not as insanely awesome as these other lines and pairings.
Yeah,
you know, so I'm
I still want to see
hard not to pick them.
I still want to see the DeMello Schlemko pairing. Oof. I want to see it.
Still praying for their souls.
I want it.
Yeah,
I want it,
man. It's just kind of funny that another team right now is tricking themselves into thinking that Roman Polak is a useful NHL player,
and he might make the playoffs again.
Yeah. Did you see Kevin Kurz defending Roman Polak on Twitter the other day?
Defending him from this year or for last year?
Someone was making a joke about Polak, and what's his name? Kurz said something along the lines of, oh, you mean the guy that helped the Sharks get to the Stanley Cup final?
Okay, that's a bit much.
I'm like, they would have made it without him.
Like, I'll defend Roman Polak.
They could have had two pairings and still made it.
Like, the first three rounds of the playoffs, like, he was actually noticeable and in a good way.
Yeah.
In the final, no. but, like, you know, like, helping the Sharks make it to the cup, that is a bit of an oversell.
Yeah, I mean, it is what it is.
Yeah, it would have looked better with David Schlemko, that's all I'm saying.
All right, well, you guys got anything else? Anything else you want to throw out there? Any big announcements?
No big announcements.
Is the baby on its way?
No.
Fake news.
I mean, we have video rolling to our Twitter followers, and all of a sudden you want to throw fake news out there? You so conveniently want to start spreading fake rumors.
Yeah, Ducks, Sharks on Saturday. I'll be there. I'll be in the stands.
You'll be there.
I might try to finagle a press pass. We'll see.
Really?
But I'm going to be, at the very least, I'm going to be in the stands, probably with a hot dog and a beer.
As so you should.
If anyone's going to be there, holler at us.
Yeah.
Holler at me.
Tweet at Felix_Sicard. Figure out where he is.
Might have an extra ticket, so if one of you guys wants to come, we'll see.
Or if anyone wants to win a date with Felix.
Yeah. I'm a good time.
He's a great time.
I'm a cheap date.
He's a cheap date. He's a great time.
It doesn't take much to like entertain me.
He'll hold your hair if there's any problems.
Or you can hold his hair, whatever.
Yeah, well, anyway. Yeah, I'm excited. I think it's going to be a really good game.
Yeah, and
because the Ducks are actually watchable lately. Yeah. So that like makes a huge difference.
And SAP Center is always great when the Ducks are in town.
Yeah.
It's always, there's something different about the level of intensity.
Yeah, I'm just like, I think the league is a better place when those two teams are rolling at the same time.
Mm.
Because, you know, the way the Ducks have been all season and the Sharks have been kind of disinterested or whatever you want to call it, it's just, it hasn't felt the same. But when there's that hatred between those two teams, because they hate each other, I think, well, maybe not hate, but I don't think Getzlaff and Thornton, you put them out there, they're buddies, you know?
No.
So
I'm having flashbacks to 2009.
And Ryan Kesler just makes anything a little more intense than it probably should be.
He's so annoying.
Just watching him, like, you can't, like, how can you like this guy? Even if you're a fan of the team, like, the stuff he does between whistles, it's just like, oh my God.
Yeah, I'm already preparing to hate him in the playoffs.
Oh man, see, that's the thing. In that playoff series, Kesler would do everything possible to get on. I feel like he'd target Couture. He always, like, targets the guys who are, like, kind of vulnerable. Or, like, you can kind of get a rise out of them. Because Joe Thornton, you know, you can mess with them all you want, but he's still going to get three assists or whatever.
I just thought of Couture and Lucic last year when Couture was laughing at Lucic.
Oh, yeah.
And it just sort of unhinged Lucic.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. But Lucic is a dummy.
Yeah.
So, Kessler's actually smart.
Yeah.
And he knows what to do, what to say. I want to know so badly what he's saying out there.
He probably says some
shit. Because he gets some guys pissed.
I bet he says some shit, man. Seriously.
All right.
All right, you feel good about it?
This is a good pod.
It's a good pod.
Happy daylight savings.
Happy daylight savings.
It's throwing me off, clearly.
Is it messing you up? You know,
honestly,
what?
It is. Because tonight, it was sunny out. Mm. And I look at my watch, and it's like 7.
Yeah.
Or 7:30. I mean, I think it's great.
There's
nothing more depressing than getting out of work and it's like dark already.
The best thing about it was getting off work at 4 and having it feel like it was 2 or 3.
Yeah.
It made the day feel longer.
It made your nap feel longer.
Also,
today was National Nap Day.
Dude, I celebrated.
Did you celly?
I celebrated National Nap Day so hard. I celebrated it for like 2 hours.
Yeah, I took a 2-hour nap and I felt horrible when I woke up.
Really?
That's why I brewed this coffee.
I woke up when you texted me and said, let's record a podcast.
Wow.
You were my alarm clock.
Timing. Well, it is now pretty late, so.
It's now 10:43.
That'd been fast.
It's now an hour later than it was last week.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. So you should probably get going so you can do what you do.
I probably should. Guys, thank you for listening to another episode of the Garage Hockey Podcast. We hope you enjoyed the video.
Yeah, the Twitter Live. So is it Twitter Live or Periscope?
It's Twitter Live. Periscope is not the thing anymore. It's Twitter Live.
I feel so last week.
Right, because it's kind of like Vine, how Vine just sort of became Twitter video. Twitter video. So that's what it is now. But pretend you keep knowing things. thank you for listening and watching to another episode of the Garage Hockey Podcast. If you want to hear more, we are on iTunes and Stitcher. If you want to holler at us, hit us up on Twitter at Garage Hockey Pod. Is that it? I think that's it.
Yeah.
That's it. Thank you for listening. We'll talk to you soon.